Good morning.
First of all, I'd like to bring you greetings from our home church. It's the Holland Congregational Church. We're in Holland, Mass. We're one of the churches that has been supporting this church for 25 years now. We started our support here when the commentary first came out here. And we've seen fit to honor their hard work, and they're working for the Lord out here by continuing our support. My name is Mike Forand, and I'm an elder at the church. And as Tom did say, this is going to be my first message. But before I get started with that, I would like to have Rob Willard come up, and he's gonna share testimony before I actually get started with the message. So, Rob, why don't you come on up and share with everybody?
Thank you, Mike. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
I'm Rob Willard. I'm a member of the Holland Congregational Church as well. I'd like to start off with a word of prayer first, because, I mean, without anything, I mean, this is what we're here for, right? It's just to honor our Lord and gossip in the gospel as far as everything that we do for the blessing. So follow me in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity for Mike and I, especially to come out here and you know, be a witness to what it is that we do. We support this church out here, you know, as far as our body, and to be able to come out here as a mission group to participate in the growth of the gospel and your body out here as well, and then participate in the construction of the church. And for me personally, you know, to break so many different barriers to be able to do this without God, you know, it's just, thank you for the opportunity for the first time to fly, you know, to thank you for the opportunity to come to a place that's, you know, been niched in my body, you know, since the birth, to be out in Montana to visit. It's been a bucket list item, let's just put it that way. Thank you so much for all these opportunities, and, you know, I look forward to coming back here with my family to just spend some time here, because it's my now my heart to be in this area as well. So thank you, Jesus, for all these blessings and for the fellowship that we are here with. In Lord Jesus' name, amen. Well, I can just start off by, you know, just asking a question. Have you ever been in a predicament where, you know, you, before you were saved, where you just, like, you sit there and talk about coincidence, you know? You know, things happen, and you can never put your finger on it, and why, and well, it all started for me about 7 years ago, where I was a hardworking guy, just like I am now. I had a marriage before that. I had four beautiful children that I raised, two of my own two daughters. They're now 23 and 19 years old, Paige and Chelsea. And I was married to a woman that, you know, she had two kids, and I raised them from the time they were a year and a half and 3 years old. And I raised them up until they were like 17 and 19 years old. They were my kids. I raised them, you know, I gave my heart and soul to them. And I was in the construction field, and I was also a call paid firefighter for approximately 10 years in the town of Spencer. And I had the picture of everything that I've ever wanted at 24 years old. I had the house, I had a career, and I loved, you know, firefighting. It was a passion, and still is to this day. But the one thing I didn't have was the Lord. And, you know, when you're sitting in there, and you're like, I've got everything, you know, like at the white picket fence, and it was just amazing. I thought I'd achieved everything. And that's when the adversity started to begin. I had some instances that happened within the fire department that also involved my marriage, and then ultimately destroyed both of them. And it wasn't the first time. It was the second time. And the first time I tried to work through it, there was a power in me at that point that I still didn't even understand. And, you know, I just felt, for my kids' sake, I wanted to be a part of them. And it was hard to deal with the first one. And then the second time it happened again, and at that point in time I needed to move on. And it was hard. It was one of the hardest times of my life to deal with, walking away from my two girls. And for about 8 years I struggled. Holidays, you know, most importantly the very first Thanksgiving. It was like Labor Day 2005 when I left my first wife, and, you know, to go through the Christmas holiday and everything else, it was just very, very hard to not be there every single day for my kids, as I was. But the God, you know, I'll tell you, the things that He did for me started to open doors in places I never would have thought. 5 years, went down a little, you know, I Chase Recast, the place that I was working in, I was there almost 10 years. I closed the doors after selling out to a bigger corporation, and I had to reinvent myself, and I'm like, what do I do now? You know, I was making really good money, supporting my family. And I went to truck driving. So I became a truck driver. So I've been driving truck for over 10 years now, which I absolutely love. Never thought I'd... Let's just give you a post on this, okay? I grew up going to Old Orchard Beach for like 30 years. My grandfather had a seasonal camp up there, and it was a home away from home for me. And I couldn't stand a 2.5 hour ride all the way to Old Orchard Beach from my house. Now, it's like I can't stand to be out of the truck for more than 14 hours. It's just amazing how that all changed for me, you know? And here I am in Montana. That was never, ever thought I'd ever cross. I mean, it's just amazing to open those doors. So, after becoming a truck driver and things of that nature, you know, I fell into some more adversity where I lost my license, lost my temper with a detail cop in Worcester, Massachusetts, and it was over a safety issue, but it's amazing how tempers can flare for either side of it and turn it into something that shouldn't have been. So another lesson that I had to learn, for about 4 or 5 years, I, you know, tried to battle back. Nobody wanted to hire a convicted felon because of an argument over a safety issue. Lost my license. Nobody wanted to hire me and stuff like that. So it was like, it came down, and this is where I found my path. I won't give you names because it means useless for you, but they're close people of mine. I went to school with two particular individuals that were, at the time, a part of this church that now I am a member of. And the first person I was good friends with, we hated each other in high school. Couldn't stand each other. And it took... Right after we graduated in 93, you know, we actually hung out with the same kids or group that we were whatever, but it was opposite, you know, because we couldn't stand each other. And it was just one of those things. Well, they were planning a Hampton Beach trip. And Jason turns around and says to me, he's, what, you don't want to go? Well, of course I want to go, you know? I mean, well, he's like, well, then get in there. Not only did I get to go, he's like, hey, you take shotgun. So I sat in the car. From that day forward, we were best friends. And it was inseparable. He lived with me a bunch of times in between breakups and whatnot, and I went to him in between my marriage and all that good stuff, and we've been there for every part of our walk of life. And for some reason, for 2 years after the end of that, we had a falling out over something stupid, and it was probably my fault. I didn't really remember what it was, but for 2 years we didn't talk. And he was a high passionate person. Didn't, you know? He was a lot like me. We didn't have nothing to do with the Lord. And so he contacted me via Facebook one day, and he's like, "Hey, you know, what are you up to? How are you doing?" And I'm like, "I'm doing really well." And this is where it all began with this moment. I was working two part-time jobs just to make ends meet. No license. I worked as a cook in a bar behind my house, and I ended up having to hitch a ride to Sturbridge to go to my first full-time job and everything else, and it was a really adverse time at that point in time. And he's like, "Hey, I'd love to come out and see you." And the lingo of the conversation between him and I at that point was just, I'm like, who is this guy? This isn't the same guy. He's like, "Well, I'd like to come out and see you." And I'm like, "All right." Well, I told him where I lived. He'd come on out to come see me and whatnot. He's like, "I just wanted to say I'm sorry." I'm like, "What's going on here?" He was like, "Jason, is that you? Who took you over?" I mean, he's like, "No, seriously. Do you remember Pat Shea? You know, he's, you know, another name from school or whatever else. He's been in the Christian faith for his entire life. And this is unheard of for me." You know, I'm like, "Really?" And I'm like, so he's like, I think you should, you know, really come out to church and check it out." I'm like, "Really? Me? Go to church? I'm going to step in church. You know, first thing that'll happen, it'll burn down. You know, it's just, it ain't ever going to happen." And, he's like, "No, really, you know, you should really talk to Pat and see if you get reacquainted." I'm like, "All right, it sounds familiar," but I couldn't put a finger on who he was and whatnot. So as time went on, Jason was getting ready to get married to his childhood sweetheart. You know, somehow God had found those two together. It was really cool. And I was still going through a real rough time at that point in time. And his marriage, you know, his wedding day came about. And I had another good friend of ours that was together with us. And she's like, "You know," he calls me up on the day of his wedding, "Are you planning on coming out there?" Now, mind you, at this point in time, I was collecting unemployment. They didn't have a license still. Just trying to make ends meet. And she goes, "You want to plan on going to Jay's wedding?" I'm like, "No. I don't even have a card to buy." She goes, "Well, I have a card for you. I already bought one for you." I'm like, so now here's what I used to call coincidence. These little baby steps of things that were happening out of faith that I would never, ever even think about. And I'm like, okay. I'm like, I don't even have anything to wear. And I happened to open up an old suitcase that I had, and it was a nice button-up shirt and tie and whatnot. And she's like, I'll come and pick you up. And she lived like four towns away to come get me. I was living in the town of Munson. And so through behind the scenes, Jason and Pat were talking. Jason would say, hey, Pat, you really need to talk to Rob, because he was an elder at the church. He's a very faithful man. He's one of my best friends still to this day. I'll give you a little bit of peace on this. I hope you ain't going to take too much time on this testimony, because there's a lot that came about of this. So we get to the wedding or whatever else. Thomasina brings me out there, and she gets a phone call. Her daughter is really sick. Now, she was my ride in and my ride out. We were only there for a half an hour, 45 minutes. And Jason says, well, wait a minute. Pat lives in Munson. You live in Munson. Why don't you go home with Pat? I'm like, all right, so now I see the wheels spinning here. I can see how they're trying to land all this together here. And I'm like, well, okay. Now, Pat has a large family, okay? Pat and Becky have been together for a long time. They have seven children together. They have an enormous house that sits on about 100, and, I think it's 50 acres. Unbelievable testament to faith. And I'm like, okay, so I can see where this is going and whatnot. So every time Jason would talk to Pat about, you need to talk to Rob, he would say, well, if the opportunity would arise, I wouldn't try to witness him, but I would talk to him and try to, you know, answer any of the questions. So as the night ends up going towards, his wife, Becky, ends up going into the back seat. I'm like, Becky, you don't have to. No, 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 you sit up front, sit with Pat. I'm like, all right, that's it. I'm like, Pat, if you got anything you need to say to me, this is my problems, flash, flash, flash. Tried to squash conversation right then and there. That was not happening. But me as a person, okay, I'm about perspective. If you can offer me a perspective to stop me and let me think about something that changes it the way I think I already figured it out, you've got me sold. And he said to me, just one of them. I'll give you one of them. And I'm sure you guys have all have heard this. You believe in air, right? Yes. You can't see it, can you? No. But you do know it's there. Yes. So that's God. God is the same way. God is there. You can feel him. The things that he does, it's just magnificent. Like, the, for instance, the landscapes of this place. I'm awestruck. It's everything that I ever thought it was going to be when I came here. That's why it was always a bucket list, growing up with wanting to come here. So long story short, now here I am, my first time after the wedding and everything else. It was just, I ended up going to the church, and then I was sunk. It was some of the sermons that I have been a part of. I love walking into church to be able to get the punch in the gut and the uppercut, is the way I like to put it. Because if you can't sit there and understand that there is a message for every mood, for every action, for every instance of every part of your life, that there is no coincidence. You know, and now here I am. I found my wife in the church, that she was a member of this congregation for 16 years as a member. She was a deaconess. You know, and here I am thinking, I am never dating a church girl. Look how funny that is, because now we have a little four-year-old son together. We've been married. It'll be 5 years this October. And I'm very blessed. And I just wanted to tell you, because I used to sit there, why am I going through this? And it was one person that always told me, there might be that one opportunity where somebody is going through a harder time than you, that you're in watching you go through all these struggles and whatever it is that you're doing in your life, that might be going through something way worse than you are, and then watching you go through the exam and showing them example of where you are going through right now and what you have gone through. That's why I love to do the testimony, because yeah, my life has been hard in a lot of areas. Growing up, I was abused in every way you can think about. It sucked, you know, but I chose to take the path of not the poor me attitude. I wanted to make better of myself and lead by the examples of what happened to me. So now, I'm a truck driver still. I'm a father of eight. My wife had four children before. I had three that came into mine, and we had another four-year little boy together. It's hard. There's a lot of instances where it's very difficult, and I find myself struggling. But I'll tell you what, one of the men right there sits right by my side. One of the elders, he disciples me every Saturday morning. He is the body that we have at the church is something else. We cannot do this journey alone. It is unheard of. And that was the one thing that I needed to do, is let go of control, thinking I can control everything, and I cannot. I need God in every step of the way. I still struggle just like every one of us. So, there's my testimony. Thank you for your time. I appreciate it. Mike?
Well, good morning again. First, Tom, I want to thank you for the opportunity to stand here this morning and share this message. It's really a pleasure and an honor to be here this morning to share with you a message that God's been laying on my heart. He's been working on me for over 2 years, telling me that I was going to be giving a message. I think maybe a little history of my life might be in order here to give you a little perspective of where I'm coming from. My wife and I first met Tom and Sherry through a little Episcopal church that we were attending in Auburn. And that, I was talking to Marie this morning, and that was back in the spring of 1981. Mm-hmm. It was right around Easter time when we first met Marie. And she remembers it, and she thinks it was actually Palm Sunday, and she remembers it because Sherry gave her testimony that morning, and that was something that she still remembers to this day, and it had influenced her greatly. At that point in time, I wasn't a believer, but we'll do a little more on that later. Tom and Sherry discipled Marie and I over the years, and they were there and helped us with our walk and helped us to grow over time. They were very influential in our lives. Our friendship grew over the years. Our kids played together. Their son Tommy, who I'm sure most of you know, were close in age, and they were growing up together. And one Sunday morning, they gave each other haircuts during playtime at the church. That was a little bit of a surprise when we came out of service. saw that things had been altered a little. Tom and Sherry were called to another church later on. Marie and I were also called, but we were called a little differently. We were called as missionaries to the Holland Church. At that time, the church was failing. There were about 20 people attending, which in a town of 2,000 wasn't a lot. It had been much larger at one time, and over the years was dwindling, but Marie and I were called there as missionaries. We were actually commissioned from the church that we were attending in Auburn to go out there and to help rebuild that church. And I must say, it wasn't really our efforts, but it was God that has turned the church around. When we got there, it was a kind of a country club church. People just went there to gather together and to get together and have a good time, and it's now turned to a Bible-believing, truth-preaching church, and it has grown. At one time, it was up over to about 400 people. Now it's settled back to really where it should be. We're about 150 to 200 people, and it's an awesome place. After that came a hard time for us. As Tom and Sherry were called out here. They were very good friends of ours, and it was hard. You surely have been blessed to have them out here to minister to you and to share with you like they did with us. You should thank God for them every day. This isn't the first time I've been here. I've lost track over the years, but I've been here for at least 3 mission trips, and Marie and I came out for a couple of vacations. We've been out here to put the foundation under the house when it was raised up. When our house was lifted up, our church came out and did a mission team to put the foundation under it. We've worked in the septic field out there, and we helped to build some of the cabins. So I'm not really a stranger to this place. I'm not a native, certainly, but I love it out here. And as I look around in the mornings, I sit out on the porch and look around at the creation that God has put here. It all, to me, points toward Him. And I love it. But I'm not here today to reminisce. I'm here to give you a message. God has laid it on my heart that there's some person or persons who's going to be here this morning that needs to hear this particular message. God's been telling me that beginning over 2 years ago, that at some point in time I was going to give a message. And I've never given one. I had really no desire to give a message. It's not one of my strong points. But I was open to it. You know, I'm open to anything that God wants to put into my life, as long as I know it's coming from Him. I didn't know where or when at that time that it was going to happen. But I just waited for clarity from God and for His timing. And He finally laid it on my heart that it was going to be here, in this place, during the mission trip to work on the church. At that point in time when I knew we were coming out here and I knew that God wanted me to give a message here, I called Tom and asked him for permission to speak to you today. I am positive that this is the time and the place God had in mind for me. Amazingly, God, after He revealed this to me, things just, as Rob was saying, happened to come together. You had a need for a floor in the church. Our church had some funds that we were looking to put toward a mission, so we put some money toward the floor. We also had a mission trip that had been planned to go to the Philippines, where one of the men that was raised up in our church, he was a young boy when we first got there, who is now a missionary in the Philippines. We had a trip planned to go out there, and it fell through. We couldn't make all the pieces come together. So the money that was earmarked for that trip then became available for us to come out here. The message that was laid on my heart is to share with you my testimony and to share with you the gospel this morning of Jesus Christ. And that there would be someone here who really needs to hear this specific message. So, here I go. My background, as a child, I was raised in the Catholic Church, as were many people in New England. I didn't read the Bible. I didn't need to. The priest would read something from the Bible that he was supposed to read that day. And he would explain it to us. And we didn't have to read it for ourselves. We were to believe just what they told us to believe. They would tell us what it meant. We were definitely not encouraged to pick up a Bible. And as far as I can remember, there was never a Bible in the pews of the Catholic Church that I went to. As a result, I didn't really know the full gospel message. Yes, they said that Jesus was our Savior, but didn't explain how, didn't explain why we needed it. Just that's who He was. And because of that, I grew up believing that if I followed all of God's commandments and I was a good person, if I did what was morally right, then I would go to heaven when I died. This is a lie from the pit of hell. Satan loves to deceive us with almost the truth. And that's what that is. If you're a good person, that you'll go to heaven. That's almost the truth. But to get the truth, we're going to go to God's Word. Genesis 3, verses 1 to 5. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die. You will not surely die, the serpent said to the woman, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. See how Satan almost told the truth there? How he twisted it into a lie? Just a little bit. And the only thing that being a good person would get me was a guaranteed place in hell forever. Excuse me. Satan would have had victory over me because I didn't believe in Jesus Christ as my Savior. The road to the truth for me started with my wife. She'd been looking for a church and had started going to church in Auburn. And through the teaching she received there, she came to know Jesus and believed in him as her Savior. Praise God. As so often happens, she became very involved in the church, Bible study, Sunday services, and some of the other activities that were going on there. And as also happens, I wasn't a believer at the time. I was becoming resentful and told her she was spending too much time at the church. This was also the work of Satan, trying through me to limit her growth and to quench the fire that was in her. Praise God that he protected both of us from this. Marie had a concern for my salvation and asked if I would meet with a pastor from the church. And I agreed. I wasn't opposed to her newfound faith. I just felt like I didn't need it. Pastor Jay came out to our house one evening and laid out for me the message of salvation through Jesus Christ. And he asked me if I believed. I was interested in what he had to say, but was not ready to commit to anything. I told Pastor Jay that I would try. He told me something that I'll never forget. He said, there is no trying. There's just believing or not believing. And that is something that has stuck with me forever, right till this day. And he left it at that. That thought made a lot of sense to me, and it started me thinking that I wanted to know what the Bible really said about salvation for myself, not just what I've been told. I started attending church on Sundays, and over time I started going to Bible study during the week. That was the one Bill Story used to run during the week. And it happened, just so happened that I had a shift that I was working that made me available at that time. Another little thing of God just happened to arrange. It really opened my eyes to what God said about things, including salvation. You need to read the Bible for yourself, and there's no excuse today not to be in the Word of God except lack of desire. There are many ways to get access to a Bible. You can get apps for your phone that come with a bunch of different translations, and you can set up reading plans so that you read the whole Bible in a year. You can just read do reading in a book or a study. And I was going to make you an offer to say that if you didn't have a Bible and you wanted one, I'd give you one. But if you don't have a Bible and you want one, there are some out in the back for free. You can just help yourself. Back to the point. Over a relatively short time, I came to realize that I didn't know how to go about being saved. That I was interested in it, and that I agreed with it, but I didn't know how to go about it. Because of what God said about salvation, that I was not going to be saved, I wanted to be. I just didn't know how. I couldn't figure it out for myself. Then came the day. It was a regular Sunday morning service. Pastor Jay preached a good message, as he always did, and ended the message with an invitation for unbelievers to come forward, to proclaim their faith in Jesus publicly, receive the Holy Spirit, and the promise of salvation. I thought I knew that there was no way that I wasn't I was going to be able to stay in the seat that I was in. I could feel God calling me to go forward with my whole body. It was just an amazing thing. I had to go up and receive Jesus into my life. And praise God for that day and for all the days leading up to it. I can look back over everything that took place and could see God's hand in all of it from the beginning as I looked back on it. My life since has then taken a very different path than it would have had I not been saved. Things have not always been sunshine and roses for me after that. God never promised that. He said, take up your cross daily and follow me. Taking up a cross is not a promise of an easy life. But he did promise that he would give us the strength and courage to face the things that we meet in our daily lives. Isaiah 46:4 says, even to your old age and gray hairs, I am he who will sustain you. I have made you, and I will carry you. I will sustain you, and I will rescue you. But of course, this promise only applies to believers, as do many of the promises in the Bible. I did have some very difficult times in my life after that, with job issues and health issues. But God, as he promised, was always with me. God will work with you and help to teach you lessons that will improve your Christian walk and make you more like him. And that's what we as Christians should be striving for. Look what he's done to me. He's got me up here giving a message, and I never ever would have thought that I would have been up here. But God stretched me, and he tries to stretch all believers. You just need not to resist it. That's my journey. It may be similar to yours, or maybe different for you. And one thing that matters is that you fully understand the truth regarding salvation and accept it in the end. As I was writing this message, I spent a lot of time to put together a thorough and comprehensive salvation message. I came to the conclusion that I was failing miserably. and I was. I was trying to write a master's thesis to give to you and to share with you this morning. And that wasn't what God wanted me to do. He made it clear to me again that, no, this, I want this to be a very simple, plain message today about salvation. And he wanted me to go back to that. So I'm going to try to keep it as simple as I can and understandable as I can. And in the end, if it's a message that I can understand, I think you probably will be able to also. So please bear with me as I try to put this before you. I need to acknowledge at this point that this is God's message for me. He wrote it, and he gave it to me to share. I'm just the mouthpiece for him this morning. This is surely his work and not mine. And also, some of the major points that I took this from, I took from a book called Experiencing the Cross by Henry Blackaby. And I took the points, made them my own, and got my own references for it. But he had organized the points in a way that was exactly what I was trying to say and accomplish. So I've borrowed the points. The first thing that we need to do is recognize God's plan for us. God is the creator of all things. The Bible says in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created all things. This means that we are a part of his creation and that he has a plan for us. I'm sure that Tom has gone over this thoroughly as you've been studying Genesis, so I'm not going to really expound on that anymore. Just remember that God is the creator and he's the ruler of all. Second, we need to realize that we have a problem. Verse 22 to 24 in Genesis 3 shows us that very clearly. And the Lord God said, the man has now become like one of us, knowing good and evil. And this is the defining point here. He must not be allowed to reach out his hand and take also from the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him out from the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he was taken. He drove out the man, and at the east of the Garden of Eden, he placed a cherubim and a flaming sword that turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life. So that shows us how through Adam, we've been separated from God, both spiritually and physically. So far, we've seen that God has planned for us, and that because he loves us, he would have us be with him forever in paradise. That's how it started out. And we've seen that we have caused the problem with that plan because of our sin. Not only was Adam a sinner, but we are all sinners now through him. Each and every one of us continues to sin. So that is the nature of man that we have to battle daily. Romans chapter 7, verses 15 to 20 shows us this. For I do not understand my own actions. For I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now, if I do what I do not want, I agree with the law that it is good. So now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. Now if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who do it, but the sin that dwells within me. God being the creator has a solution to our problem of sin and separation. And that solution is Jesus Christ. This is part of his plan. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world, that's us, that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. He also shows how much he loves us in Romans 5:8. But God shows us in his love for us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And that's very important. While we were still sinners. And in my salvation, part of the problem that I had coming to Christ was I was trying to become good enough for God to save me. Until I realized that God would take me just as I am. I don't have to get better first. I get better after. That God takes us right where we are and accepts us for what we are. That's how much he loves us. Just because he loves us does not mean that we are reconciled to him. But that there is a way that we can be reconciled to him. Again, this is through Jesus. God says in John 14:6, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus is the only way to get reconciled to God. He is the only way. So how does this work? Let's look at God's word again. 1 Peter 2:24-25. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Christ took our, that is all believers, sins past, present and future upon himself on the cross and was for the first time separated from the Father. He had never been separated from the Father before that. and as separated from the Father as we were before we were saved. And as he shed his blood and died on the cross, our sins died with him. And as he was resurrected and reunited with the Father, so also we were justified through Christ. Not on our own, but through Christ. And also now have the means to be reunited with him forever. We have the means through that. We weren't automatically saved through that. Fourth and final point. How are you going to respond? We have seen that God is the creator. We've seen that he loves us and he makes the rules. We have seen that we are sinners and that we have a problem with being separated from God. And we have also seen God's great love for us in giving a solution to the problem through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, his Son. So how are you going to respond? I know for me, I had no choice when it came time for me. I had to accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I couldn't resist God's call. His pull on me during that time was so strong that I had to respond to it. I can't answer for you how you're going to respond, but I can tell you a few things you can't do. You can no longer say you don't know the truth because you heard it here this morning. You heard the truth right from God's Word. You can no longer say that you are a good person and think that that will reconcile you to God. It won't, and now you know it. You can no longer deny that Jesus Christ is the only way to become reconciled to God because you heard it from God's Word here this morning. This is too important for me at this point to pull any punches or to be afraid to offend someone. You have only two choices. One, you can deny him and who he is, and you'll be condemned and spend eternity in hell. Or two, you can accept him and his salvation for us and spend eternity reunited with God in heaven. As my pastor told me, there's just believing or not believing. Two simple and clear choices. So right now I'd like everybody to bow their heads and close their eyes as I close us with prayer. Lord, I give you thanks this morning for being with me as I gave this message. Lord, you've told me that there was someone here who needed to hear this message this morning. And I trust in them. Lord, I ask now that as this person or persons are sitting here, that they can feel your call upon their heart to accept Jesus as their Savior. Lord, and I pray that you will prompt them to reach out to you and just say, Lord Jesus, I need you to come into my life. That I know I'm a sinner, and that I know that there is only one way to be reconciled to you, and that's through Jesus. So Jesus, I ask you, come into my life this morning. I pray that they would be doing that. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to be here, for stretching me and growing me as I prepared for this message, Lord. And I thank you for having someone here to hear this message. Lord, I ask that you, at this point, answer their prayer. If someone here fervently prayed to be saved this morning, Lord, that you would honor that. Lord, we know through your word that you will do that. Lord, I thank you again for being here, for this place, for this congregation, for Cowboy Church. I always like being here. Lord, I'm here this morning to give you praise and honor and to bring glory and honor to your name. And if there's anybody here who did that, make that decision, wants to know a little bit more, they can either approach Tom or I, or there are some pamphlets on the back table that will help you to answer any questions you might have. So in that, Lord, thank you. Praise your name. Amen.
Okay, well, thank you, Mike. Thank you, Rob, for your testimony.